actually have more up there than I thought. What do you got to say, Justin, now that we've played a few of them?
No, I was just, we're just talking in the chat a little. I mean, no, to me, I believe it's Jay-Z. I really do. I think
Yeah.
maybe the singing is done by a female. I think she's just a puppet. Maybe she sings, but as far as the rapping, that's Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but as someone was bringing up in the chat, was talking about, you know, the whole thing about Lady Gaga, and I just wanted to bring up for anyone that's out there, actually, Gabe talked about she levitates, possessed, spewing demonic hatred, and that's why her hairdresser quit. His words, not mine. Well, check this out. During the New Year's this year, there was two bodies found on the Queen's estate in London, and also made the papers and you know, in a bunch of like mainstream sites how Lady Gaga was staying in a hotel in London, and they went to her hotel room, you know, or the people in the hotel room complained because her bathtub was filled with blood, and so she was bathing in blood. And you know, I don't want to really put two and two to get sound too crazy, but I think she, you know, obviously is part of, you know, this whole network of people that, you know, bathes in virgin blood and whatever else, you know, it adds up, you know, one and one equals two most of the time. I think, you know, I think it makes sense. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. I'd
Well,
heard these same stories. Go ahead, James.
I don't think anyone's going to get innocently killed on the Queen's estate. You know, it's like someone getting killed in the White House grounds. I mean, I think the royal family, actually the richest family in the world, I think with the land that they own, it's worth like, you know, hundreds of billions, you know, like no one's gonna get a knife in there, you know, no one's gonna get innocently murdered in the Queen's estate, you know. Just not gonna happen.
No, it's not.
But yeah, but back to the Nicki Minaj thing, the point that I wanted to make was that it's clearly Jay-Z, but even if someone tried to argue it wasn't, the point is it's a male, you know. It's somebody singing slowly,
Right.
you can pick that up from slowing it down, you know.
Right. Yeah. Even if you don't believe it's Jay-Z, at least you have to admit that that's a male, no matter what. You have to
Yeah,
admit
it's
that.
not her.
Because here's the thing: you can take any other female rapper out there and slow it down, and they're not going to sound like a male. You can take any, you know, male rapper; they're not going to, you know, it's going to sound like bleared out. Like that is on. That's like purposely done like that. And that's why her flow sounds like that. Like that hypnotic. Like it's fast. It's not. It's not supposed to be. It's not sung at
natural.
that.
Nobody
It's
really raps that
right.
fast.
It's
You
well,
wonder how she
people.
raps that fast? She does. Well, yeah,
Well,
some people might, but
well,
not anybody.
yeah, Fushnikins and tongue twisters to
yeah,
her,
there's a, there, yeah.
but that's a specific
But and
thing.
they didn't
Not
sound
like.
like, but they didn't sound like women when they did it, did they? The men.
No.
They didn't sound like Nicki Minaj or another female rapper
No.
when they rap that fast. No, they still sound like a man.
Yeah, the point is it's not Nicki Minaj, you know, that's the point. I mean she's definitely hot merchandise, you know, but a rapper she's not, you know.
Yeah, and I've seen somebody tried to show me a video once to try and prove it was her, and they were like, look, she was live on I don't know if it was like Oprah or, you
Or
know,
Regis
what
and Kathie Lee or something.
yeah
Or
it was
Regis
one it was
and
one of the
Kelly,
one
yeah.
of the female talk shows in the afternoon that's on the television,
And
one
she
of the
was
big
lip
ones.
syncing.
She was lip syncing. She had these little kids out there like singing, and she would like just blurt in a few words here and there, and the rest she was just lip syncing, and you could see that she was clearly she was like there wasn't even much effort to really hide it. I mean, it was so obvious.
Yeah,
That's not her
definitely.
rapping like that. It's not.
Exactly.
That's how much they just lie to everybody just to make a dollar, you know? That's such a rip-off. People think all they're doing is getting the same rap that you've been hearing for the last 10 years and getting it sped up.
Exactly.
Yeah, she's massive too. Like she's got millions of fans, you know. She's massive, you know. She's not like a
I know, she's
small
so
person.
fake looking too, you know? No, she's big time, and she's a total fraud. Guys, remember when Milli Vanilli got exposed? How they would, you know, they were pretty much done after that. I hope that happens to her. I really do. I'm sorry. I don't mean to wish down on somebody, but that's a big scam on all of us, you know? I hope she gets exposed.
I never liked that broad, but to be honest.
I didn't either.
And
I can't listen to that.
In the chat, we were just talking we were talking about Saturn worship, and a lot of people don't understand, like, what they've done is actually, what we do celebrate as Christmas right now, is actually, for one, it's the winter solstice, but it's also the Saturnalia, which is an old pagan, ancient Roman festival. December 17th to the 23rd, and that's what they did. So in other words, they made a supposed Christian holiday on a pagan day. So when all these people think that they're, you know, going and worshiping Christ or whatever, in reality they're worshiping Saturn, and that's a big thing about the whole pretty much all of our holidays. Easter is Ishtar, they put all these pagan worship days, or occult worship days onto, and mixed them with other religions, and that's how we have these holidays now.
Is that really how we have them? I mean, that's yes. Crazy, man. Yep. I've never heard that.
Yep, totally.
Hey, just on that, is it any coincidence, I know a lot of people, around the world, sort of dread Christmas now because it's just so stressful. Do you think that's part of the whole thing? You want to talk about stress and all that, I can't remember the last Christmas I had without, just family brawls and shit, you hear a lot of people talk about it. Do you think that's part of their plan? I don't know how they do it, but Christmas is just so stressful. Most people, come to wish it wasn't even Christians, I don't know what it is, if it's the work schedule or what, but they say most domestic violence happens around that time and stuff. It's just such a stressful time money-wise, to put on Christmas it costs so much money, it's, I know it's a bit off topic, but it's so stressful,
No, it's not off topic. I mean, that probably is part of the whole plan, Get everybody to have to buy gifts for each other and get all stressed out and give money to the big corporations right around the holidays. It's guaranteeing them a lot of money, too.
Yeah, just that time, November to January, is just the most, you ask anyone, people just stressed out, People aren't too happy.
It makes sense. No, you think about it, too. I mean, like you're saying, it's negative energy and whatnot, it's how many people are really stressed, like you said, stressed out throughout the holidays and worried about putting that, dinner on the table and, worried about, getting everything for their kids and everything, to be honest, I don't buy Jupiter equals Jupiter thing. In Jordan Maxwell, he has a lot of truth, but a lot of his stuff comes out of nowhere. In my opinion, I can't really say I trust a lot of his etymology, and I'm no expert, but personally, I've seen a lot of it debunked, and that's just from what my opinion on it. But. I think as far as he's good as far as talking about the Admiralty Law and stuff like that. A lot of the other stuff, though, I think he just pulls out of his ass.
Yeah, I never got too into looking at his stuff. So, I mean, I know who he is.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I hate to change the subject again, but back to that. It's a bit like the Christmas, but also with that whole slow kill thing with the economy the way it is, and a lot of people, even in their 20s and 30s living at home, the thing is, even if you know about what's healthy and what's not, if you're just paying board to live at home and someone else is buying your groceries for you, you know, I find that myself living at home, you know, even if you know what's healthy and what's not, you know, if you're not buying the groceries, you know, at least the person who's buying the food for you is awake to all this stuff, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. You're going to go hungry, you know. I think it's a good point, because there's a lot of... There's a lot of people living at home, but up to the age of, like, mid-20s, 30s, you know, these days, just because the economy the way it is, studying at universities and all that sort of thing, you know. And, again, you can know what's healthy and what's not, but if you're not buying the food, and, you know, if the person who is not on board with stuff, you know, they're gonna go hungry unless they eat, you know.
It's true.
That's where they got a lot of people.
Doesn't it suck, like, you know, not being able to get through to people like your parents and stuff? Like, I mean, I've tried, you know, and it's like, I think my mother starting to get it a little bit. I think if she didn't live so far away from me, because she lives a couple hundred miles from here now, if she didn't live so far, I think I'd already have her pretty much awake, because she was living with me for a little bit. She had moved back in with me, actually. At one of my last places, but now she's living down the Cape. But she was starting to get some of the 9/11 stuff, I think, some of the stuff I was showing her. My dad was totally blocking it out, but my mother was getting it. And I think she'd get some of the health issues if I told her. She'd have a harder time with some of the other things, like, you know, maybe like the Titanic and some other things that were already in her head or whatever. But I think she would understand the whole grocery angle. I mean, you know, staying away from the corn syrup and the GMO food and stuff like that, you know. It's hard, though. Like I said earlier, it's like 30-40% more on your grocery bill, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah. You know, the good thing, my mother gets it for the most part. You know, there's some real deep parts that she doesn't get or whatever, but she's, I don't know, she as far as, like, this year, we got a big garden going, and, you know, she's very into, like, she stocks food for just in case the shit hits the fan. And she knows all about, you know, she works in a school in the cafeteria, and I'm worried about her getting in trouble because she starts bringing up 9/11 with these people, and she was like, you know, and like spreading 9/11 truth in an elementary school cafeteria to like teachers and shit. And it's hilarious. And also like when Bin Laden supposedly died, she went into school and was like talking, you know, like telling everyone they were, you know, idiot, you know, not telling them they're idiots, but just telling them, like, well, how many times did he die, you know, like this.
That was
that.
The ninth time. I think that was exactly. The time, dude. You know what I mean?
So, or might have been the sixth, either way. But yeah, you know, it's actually funny. But I'm like, Mark, tone it down a notch. I mean, it's okay for me to, you know, to get. I appreciate what she's doing, but on the other hand, it's almost like, you know, I don't want her to get in trouble or nothing because of it, you know. But
it's good that she's doing it, though. Imagine it, even if she can just get through to a couple of the teachers. You know, imagine they went against their lesson plan and taught some truth. I mean, because the whole lesson plan is corrupted. You know that. You know, the teacher's entire lesson plan from top to bottom is corrupted with disinformation and the whole agenda. So, I mean, imagine you could get through to a couple teachers and they change their ways and they started actually doing what we're doing when they're home, like, looking into things,
actually,
and bringing it back with them to the classroom. That would be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. We have a couple teachers that listen to us, too, or as well, like Tamara, that she – I don't know if she's been around lately, but she was listening to us for a while. Well, as far as this goes, this is elementary school, but either way, still, you know, even – you know, anyone that learns it, I mean, even, you know, you're not really, you really can't tell the fourth graders about 9/11 truth. I mean, really, but, I mean, even though it should be something, but, you know, that'll definitely get tough.
You'd be surprised what you can tell a fourth grader, you know? I mean, they're not stupid, you know, if you just tell them the story correctly from the beginning, or you at least leave it open to other avenues, like, you know, maybe you could tell them you're not sure what happened, but here's what didn't happen. You know, what you were told on the news isn't what happened.
Yeah, they see the world, by that age, they actually still see the world in black and white, you know.
Yeah.
Because most of what you learn at elementary school is just, you know, basic maths and basic, you know, they can still see the world in black and white. So once you get through that middle school and high school and all that, I mean, you know, you start getting a little bit more corrupted. We know, right. If anything, we know that basic English, basic mathematics, that is true. Everything that's in the high school curriculum is, obviously astronomy is full of crap and science and all that sort of thing, but those basic things like mathematics and English and, that's all correct. They're actually at quite a pure age where they probably do understand a lot of things, but the parents just try and protect kids so much that if they went home and said, oh, I've been learning about 9/11, that, the parents would probably have a fit,
Yeah, but that's a shame. It's a shame that parents, because I would want my if my kid was being taught in school the truth, I would welcome that with open arms, Right, I'm ready to come bring my kid down to Justin's mother's school and enroll him.
Well, I don't know what you would good do. The only good thing you would do is that at least at lunchtime, that's the thing too. My mother's big on, here's the thing. She's in a pickle, and this is everyone in as far as cafeteria workers all over the country are, because on one hand they're being forced by the state to give out like all these fruits and vegetables which the kids won't eat, but yet on the other hand they're being forced to, she's being forced to use margarine instead of real butter. She's being forced to use, there's a bunch of things like that where if she would just do it, the right way, it would be so much more healthy. But they don't care about the content of the food. They just count calories. They just count, and that's bullshit. You know what I mean? Obviously, we all know that margarine is one molecule away from a plastic, And the fact that they have, and she can't do nothing about it. She's not going to go out with her own money and buy, and buy butter.
Of course not.
Right. She tries when she can to give him as real a lunch as possible. But, that's a problem we have in the whole country. And that's, I don't know if it's just the Michelle Obama, thing that was put in. But it's definitely gotten worse in the last few years as far as what she can give the kids. They've yanked fruit juice out of the there's only like certain kinds they're allowed to carry because, this one has too much of this. And it's really just, and she says it's sad too because they have to put a vegetable on the kid's plate, but then they see the kid go over and dump it right in the trash. So it's like, how much food are we wasting by trying to force it down these kids' necks? No, education on food again has to happen at home. You can't have these kids, and that's the problem. You can't blame the school lunches for why your kids are fat. Your kids are fat because they sit on their ass all day playing Xbox or whatever, and because they don't fucking do nothing in the summer. They don't ride their bikes anymore. They don't do nothing. And you're feeding them garbage. It's not because of the one school lunch they have a day, and that's the problem that you get into. But she, it just sucks because there is a well-meaning people and everything like that, but, the system holds them back.
Maybe that vegetable was sprayed with chemicals and shit anyway, again, I think margarines, I've never eaten butter or margarine, so I'm probably not missing out on much.
You've never eaten either one?
No, I didn't really like the taste of it. If I have bread, I just have it by itself, but margarines are huge. Margarine's a huge one because people have that on their toast, they have it on their sandwiches. People probably have that like 3 or 4 times a day, Margarine's probably a huge one,
Yeah, margarine is the aspartame of the of the dairy world, pretty much. It really is.
I've probably missed out on some of the goodness of butter, but I haven't had any margarine my whole life, so I'm probably ahead of some things,
That's good. I can't believe that. That's crazy, man. As a kid, you figured it'd just be fed to you anyways,
If I make a sandwich, I'll just put maybe mayonnaise or tomato sauce or something. I'll put, like a meat sandwich or something, I've never really liked, butter or margarine or shit, But most people do have it, what about the other spreads? Are they healthy or, peanut butter and jam?
Oh,
peanut butter is healthy.
Peanut butter is very high in protein, and it's something that it's good protein too. It stays with you. A lot of times, when I'm hungry and I don't want to make something like junk food or something like that, I'll just go and eat a spoon of peanut butter and a little bit of organic honey or something like that. and I'll feel full for a while, and I'm not getting the I'm not getting the bad feelings from eating something bad and greasy, or eating bread, which is all bad carbs, obviously, you know. Obviously, it's, you know, everything has its up and downs. Anon in there was talking about avocado is my butter. Avocado is one of the best things for you. I have to start eating it more. There's a lot of foods like that. They're superfoods. They really do, as far as antioxidants and, you know, preventative foods, you know, they help you so much in your diet, and it's good to learn these things. So thanks for that info.
Yeah, I always find like eggs. I find they're really filling. You know, if you cook up a few eggs, you know, that'll fill you right up. You know,
yep,
Not much food. You know, you don't.
I can't eat
much
eggs.
Eggs are great for you, and too. And when I used to be like a big weightlifter, I used to eat a half a dozen a day. I put on a lot of muscle when I was eating the eggs like that. I know guys that eat a dozen and a half a day.
I couldn't do that. I can't even eat one. I don't like the consistency of it. I could never chew an egg. Like, it just was so gross to me. I know everybody else likes them, and I know they're good for you. I'm just like that. I just can't eat eggs. I could maybe eat scrambled eggs with ketchup if I had to eat a little bit, but like,
I wouldn't enjoy it. You probably haven't had them cooked the right way. You probably had them cooked like hard scrambled. You like when you stop down, I'll make you some scrambled eggs. You'll eat.
Yeah. It's so filling for something that's so small. As well, I find like fruit. Like I've started like about half a year ago, I started, you know, eating the whole apple, you know, like the core and the seeds and everything. And, you know, they talk about fruit seeds having that special vitamin or whatever in them. But just fruit, like if I eat an orange, like I'll eat the skin, you know, like it fills you up so much more, you know. I know they spray fruits with chemicals and all that sort of thing, which is unfortunate, but just like a piece of fruit can be so much more filling if you eat the whole thing, you know, if you don't throw parts of it away, you know. I don't think nature intended us to like eat a banana and just throw the peel on the ground, you know. Like, I think we were meant to eat the whole thing, you know.
Do you eat banana peels too?
I haven't done that yet, but I started eating like mandarin peels and orange peels and stuff.
Well, you know, to be honest, you're right, and that's why a lot of people that juice, you know, that you, and I don't mean take steroids, but people that, you know, that are on you know, juicing diets, a lot there's a lot of those that call for putting it in a peel and all, or at least half to peel or whatever. There's a lot of the good things in a lot of those peels. You know, you're definitely right. I can't picture myself eating a banana peel or an orange peel.
I could definitely eat an orange peel, because for soccer, I mean, they used to have the oranges cut in quarters, and you'd rip all the orange out with your mouth, right, and you'd just be left with the skin. I could probably eat the skin. I think I could on an orange. I don't know about eating the apple core, though. I'd have to try it. I don't know.
It's actually really easy to eat an apple core, like, and the seed. I just do it every time now, you know. It's so much easier than having to throw it away.
I would think it'd be kind of hard to bite, even if my teeth are, like, kind of sensitive, and, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that hard to bite through.
If you just chew it down slowly, but people do look at you strange, but, you know, you just say that to them, you know, well, like, you shove a whole orange in your mouth, you know, like, what are you doing, you know, but, you know, it's got to be there for a reason, you know, like, I don't think we were just meant to pick it off the tree and then throw it on the ground and litter it, you know, like, I think we were meant to eat it, you know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it makes sense. It's just different, you know, it's very different. I've never seen anybody do that.
There's a lot of stuff being written about this vitamin B17 or whatever that's in fruit seeds or apricot kernels or whatever that can cure cancer and stuff. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but there's definitely some nutritional value to.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I bet you it's good for you. You know, I could only imagine it's probably good for you.
It's just funny how kids are conditioned from a young age to throw away the apple cores and throw, you know, like, I can't even remember. It must have happened at some point, you know. They just taught you to throw it all away. You're throwing away the best part, you know?
How's it taste compared to the rest of the apple?
The first time you have the seeds, like, they're a bit acidic, but it tastes pretty nice, you know. It's just, I do it without even thinking now, you know. Like, you know, if you're eating an apple, and you don't want to have to go find a rubbish bin, you know, like, just eat the whole thing, you know, it's all gone.
That's pretty
I think you've got to chew the seeds, though, to get, you know, the stuff out of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it tastes pretty nice. I just think some fruit, like, maybe even eggs. Maybe we were meant to eat the shells, too. I mean, you know, like, a lot of people do.
I'll tell you what, I had a nutty kid in my neighborhood, and when I was growing up, and we were kids, we were in the Cub Scouts or whatever, and we were on, you know, one of them camping trips. And we sat down, you know, we had eggs and everything, bacon, you know, about to cook it up on the campfire. This guy throws the whole egg and smashes the whole egg up in their shell and all and ate it. I said, I don't know. I couldn't do it. He wasn't all, although, you know, he wasn't all there. So I don't know that I would follow his lead, but, you know, maybe you're right. I mean, you know, but then again, some animals like reptiles do eat the whole shell, but their bodies can take it. However, if you watch, like, a raccoon eat an egg, I believe they just go after the inside. So, it, you know, which is more close to us. I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard that the shells have a lot of protein in them. Like, some people that eat the shells, they grind it up in a blender or something. But, I mean, I'd find it hard to eat an egg, like, just eating it raw, you know, without cooking it. But then again, you know, we know that cooking food destroys nutrients at any level. So, I mean, maybe we were meant to just eat them. I mean, like, people think eating raw meat's disgusting, but apparently, if you try it, it's not, you know. It's like a lot of people that haven't had sushi, they think raw fish is gross, but when they have it, you know, it's nice, you know. So
I have a problem with the raw meat in the and I understand, obviously, our ancestors did it a long time ago, you know, before there was campfires and stuff, but I think their teeth are more made for it. And I don't know, I mean, like, what is it called, the meat that's, like, pounded out, like, real flat, and you're supposed to eat it raw or whatever. The French do it, I believe. It's like a raw hamburger or something like that, or raw steak. I don't know, me personally, I'm not that big on, although, you know what though, I mean, on the other hand, I eat raw clams, I eat raw oysters and stuff like that. It's just the and you know what? When you think about it, when you eat salmon, that's really not, that's not cooked too well. It's really just cured. Definitely makes sense. I think, you know, I think you're right. You're definitely right as far as, you know, cooking stuff does take a lot of nutrients out of it. So I think that's another thing to consider too. But nowadays we live in the where we have so much excess that, you know, it doesn't matter. Where, you know, even when my grandfather was growing up and stuff, like, you didn't throw out a piece of the cow. You didn't throw out a piece of the pig or whatever. Like, they used to, he lived in like, you know, in the like, you know, this back then it was an Italian American ghetto. You know what they call it, like, nowadays would be like, you know, the hood for blacks or whatever, Puerto Ricans or whatever. But back then it was all Italians, and they used to, the whole neighborhood would go in and buy a pig or whatever, and they would eat every piece of it. And I'm talking, you know. And that was the peasant food. Nowadays, you know, you've got food like adrip and sofrito and stuff like that, and it was shit to them, but it's selling for big bucks to these yuppie people that, you know, that want to try this exotic cuisine to them or whatever. But you know, that's how poor people, you know, get the most out of everything. And but, you know, that's a problem, too. And look at all the stuff we waste. And look at, like, for example, how many people nowadays, they take a ham and throw the bone out? Well, you know, most people back then, you would take the ham and make the bone and make a soup out of it, you know, and or anything else. And that's, but you know, and that's what it is. People don't even know how to prepare leftovers anymore. You know what I mean? As far as, like, making it and turning it into something else. And, you know, people don't, it's like, I have friends and stuff, and, you know, they have kids, and I watch them, what they feed their kids. And I'm like, you know, don't you cook real food? You know, I don't understand it, because I cook, my family, you know, everybody in my family cooks. It's just a normal thing. I don't know. I especially to have kids and not cook. I don't get it.
Yeah, I've never eaten, like, raw meat or anything, but I usually tend to like my steak, you know, reasonably medium rare or something. I don't really get people that well, like, cook it up real well, you know, and it's all black and shit, but, like...
See, I like it medium well. A touch of pink on the inside, but mostly, a grayish color. Most people tell me that I'm eating it way too well, but that's how I like it.
Well, yeah, it's a preference thing, but like, recently, you know, one time I was just drinking with the friends and everyone went out to get, you know, like McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, and I just went to the supermarket and there was like a $10 chicken, and I'm just like, well, you know, it's going to be $10 for a combo meal, so I might as well just buy a chicken, and I just bought the chicken, you know, and I just ate the whole thing, you know, and like, I was even eating some of the bones, you know, like, it's just, you can just eat it, you know, like, I mean, I just thought that was a lot more filling than buying like a $10 meal, you know, from a takeaway or whatever, you know, like,
you ate the chicken bones? Or you just chewed it all the way down to the bone?
Well, I chewed it down to the bone, but then I realized that if you just nibble on the bone, like, it starts to break off and you can eat it. So I don't know. I mean, I didn't really eat the bones, but sometimes you eat a little bit of the bones, you know, like, they just break off in your mouth, you know, like, they're not always that solid, you know. I don't know whether we were meant to eat the bones or not, you know. I don't know what the deal is, you know, but sometimes I eat some of the bones. I certainly suck the bones dry, you know. I mean, you know, like if you go buy a $10 chicken, I mean, you get a lot more food than what you would in, like, a meal somewhere, you know? So, just variety, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like a good idea to me, you know? Justin, you care if we take a quick break, quick song?
Sounds good to me.
James, you got something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, I mean, I do tend to eat fast food probably once a week, you know, I probably do get the Burger King or whatever, but, you know, I try to keep it to once a week, you know, but it's probably not going to kill me. I mean, I was saying on the website before earlier in the day, I think men are a bit luckier because we don't use too many cosmetics and things, and if you can get away with not using the deodorants and the hair gels, I mean, you think about poor women, you know, and the breast cancer rates and stuff, you know, they're putting makeup and nail varnish and they're putting the whole package on every day, you know, two or three times a day with the lipstick and everything. And I think chicks have it a lot worse than guys do, you know, with all these chemicals and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, though? The chemicals affect all of us, though. I mean, as far as, you know, women get cancer from it, but yet the sperm rates drop in men from all these gender-bending chemicals and everything, too. So, but...
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, guys. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. Brian Stavely, Justin Cook. We're joined on the call by James Sloan, and I want to thank everybody else that's been participating in the chat all night. Without you guys, I mean, we wouldn't have the show, you know. And you guys definitely get us going with a lot of great questions. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, along with my co-host, Justin Cook. We're joined in on the call by James Sloan. And it's been an awesome show so far, I think. I think we've had a really good show. What do you guys think about this one? I think this has been one of our more fun shows. We're kind of just talking about everything.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, the input's been great. I love having James on. David was a great call earlier.
Yeah,
Simone,
definitely.
Gabe, everybody else, Equinox, and everybody else in the chat, Jibs or whatever his new name is tonight. Who else is in the chat?
Yeah, guys, we love the input, guys. And you know that new Facebook group I set up? For those of you that don't, I'll throw the link in the chat in a second. We set up a music group just to post videos, so you know when we want to take our mind off the other stuff, you know. If you guys want, you know, for any show, just throw some videos in there and we'll just randomly pick ones. And that's what I've been doing, basically. I know James posted that video earlier, and I know I played somebody else's song, I think, on the last break or maybe the break before. So, you know, anytime we're going to have a show, you guys just throw some videos in that Facebook page. Makes it nice and simple. You know, I can just go grab them and play them during the show. What else do you want to get into, you guys?
I don't know. What's up in the chat? What do you guys, how about we've been talking about video games, I guess, in the chat and how, like, for instance, Gabe was saying that, Jonestown ran a story, I guess, about some kid playing, Xbox for 4 days straight or something like that. And I was just saying how my nephews, you know, yes, they're the same way, you know, in the summertime, they don't play for 4 days straight, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's summertime out, and, you know, instead of taking their bikes and riding down the street or whatever, like I used to do when I was a kid, you know, they're sitting in the house playing video games or whatever, and I just, you know, we're just talking about, you know, as far as, you know, like, I don't know, what are the implications of it, and, you know, is it just, I mean, obviously, it's by design to
well,
be,
I
you know.
I think it kind of takes away from you socially in your childhood, from you know going out and getting out of the house and doing other things outside. You know, I just think it's much better for you. You know, I mean, there are some things that obviously you can benefit. You can get better hand-eye coordination. They would probably say or something like that. But I mean, let's be honest. Would you rather have your kid plop down in front of the PlayStation, or would you rather have them outside playing basketball?
Right.
I'd
well,
and get outside
and
playing basketball anytime.
Oh, of course, too. I mean, you also have the whole question of like, you know, are they going to just make these turn these kids into drone pilots and just have a drone war? Simone is talking about saying that's a lack of guidance. Well, no, I agree. It's a lack of guidance. You know, I definitely, you know, it's definitely a problem. It's just like, you know, with our generation as far as. Yeah, we had the Mario and stuff, but it wasn't as big. You know, just the same thing where, you know, you have the TV as your babysitter, you know, especially with a parent that works all day or whatever, and they come home and, you know, they're happy that the kids not bother them. They sit them in front of the TV, you know, the TV or whatever. And it's the same thing with video games. It's just, you know, it's like a pacifier, you know. It's the same thing. But, I mean, you know, at what point is it overkill, and at what point is it, you know?
I think there's some truth to what you were talking about the whole drone pilot thing. I mean, they really, guys, if you notice a lot of the military commercials now, they start out looking like a video game, and then the video game turns into, oh, this is really just the army. The army's great. Look, it's like a video game, just like the video games we've been ramming down your throat. You know, the Call of Duties and the Ghost Recons and Battlefields and the games like that. They're definitely conditioning your mind to you know, to not only accept war, but, you know, to even go and sign up and think it's a good thing to do.
Right, right, and especially to a lot of these modern war. I don't know. There's one of them. You know, of course, where you're bombing Muslims and Arabs and, you know, and everything else too. And now the new ones actually have war coming to the United States. I believe it's like a domestic modern warfare or whatever type thing where you have. I don't know. I was reading about it the other day. What was I going to say? Here's another thing, too, that Gabe just brought up. It's a really good point. You know, it's what he said, what's sad is parents afraid of letting kids out to play because of all the sick killers and perverts on the news, and it's true. I mean, you know, don't get me – now, growing up, we had all that stuff. We had, you know, every now and then, you know, obviously they come and steal a kid and whatnot, and it sucks. It really does because these sick fucks are, you know, will take your kid and do what they want with them. However, that's why, you know, we always stayed with a couple of us, you know, and that's the thing. You know, if you, you know, I had an older brother and I had a neighborhood full of friends and kids, and, you know, as long as you're not by yourself and it's, you know, as long as you're in like a well-lit area, you really don't have to worry about that stuff. You teach your kids right. But yeah, you know, he's definitely right though. So many people nowadays are so worried about it that, and even terrorism, you know, like, so many people like, they won't let their kids go. You know, and especially now with the theater shooting, I've heard even friends of mine talk about, oh, I don't know if I would bring my kid, you know, to see a movie. I mean, this is the day after it happened, but still, nonetheless, it's still the fear thing. You know, you wouldn't bring, you know, or people are worried about going into malls. And remember, especially after 9/11, there was always that they were always talking about, oh, the so and so mall's on alert.
People, you know, didn't want to be in any crowded place after 9/11.
Right.
You know, they didn't want to be near crowds, you know, at all. I mean, whether it's a mall or a train station, you know, nobody wanted to be there. They thought everything was a target, and that's, you know, that's what they wanted you to think, you know. Gabe was talking about his Atari joystick was confiscated a few times. I don't think those games though were nearly as bad as what you have now. I mean, back then you had games like Mega Mania and Pole Position, and I mean there wasn't really too much predictive programming or, you know, trying to get your kids to join up for the war with those games. But as they started to evolve, you know, past Super Nintendo and Nintendo 64 and into, like, PlayStation 2 and
now Xbox, it's neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah, once you got the PlayStation 2 and Xbox, I mean, the war games just started coming, and they've been coming for the last 10 years, you know? Because online was a big thing, online gaming, you know?
Yeah, you know what's crazy, Brian, is because actually, too, the Army actually started developing games to teach their guys with now. And if you look at these Call of Duty games, they're so realistic and whatnot. And that's why, you know, obviously, you know, we wouldn't have found them that interesting to play because we were playing with block characters and, you know, 8-bit characters and everything. But, yeah, no, that's the thing is, you know, when I was a kid, I never had a problem being outside. I always did. But if I did bad in school, my mother would come and yank the controllers. And that's where I think everyone was talking about, you know, and that's what I would do. And in fact, that finally when I was like 13 or so, 12 or 13, I went and bought another controller and hit it. And then, you know, every time my mother was out or whatever, I'd play it and I'd hear her pull in the driveway and I'd go and turn it, shut the TV off and go, you know, pretend I was doing something else. But no, I mean, I was outside most of the time anyway, but yeah, Brian's a video game, all-star over here. We got, like the Fred Savage movie. He was telling me about that.
Yeah, it was actually, I don't know if you guys ever heard about this before, but, you know, back when we were younger, they had the Nintendo World Championship. And the very first one that they had, I was at the regionals for New England. I won the tournament that they had in Chelmsford. There was a Tetris tournament, and they had three different age groups. And if you won, you got a ticket to go to the World Championship and compete. And I actually won the whole tournament, so I got a free ticket for the weekend. And I got to bring a friend, and I got to bring both my parents. And when we went there, It was pretty cool, actually. I'm going to tell you a quick story. You guys know what the CES show is, the Consumer Electronics Show, like where they used to always have all the new games before they came out, and you would see people testing them, like in the magazines. You'd be like, oh, look at these people in California or whatever, get to go to this show, and we don't get to go. Well, it was like that on the middle of the floor. You got to try all these new games that weren't out yet, and then they had these arcade machines that you would stand at. And they'd have everybody compete, and there'd be hundreds of arcade machines, and you would play Super Mario Brothers until you collected 50 coins as fast as you could, and then it would switch to Rad Racer, and you had to beat a certain track that it had you on, and then it would switch to Tetris, and you had to score like 25,000 points as quick as you could. And then out of that, they took the top seven out of everybody that competed over the weekend, and I ended up being in the top seven, so they took us up on the stage. And it was like that Fred Savage movie where you played on like a big movie screen, and it was pretty cool. I didn't end up winning. I wish I did and had a better ending for you guys. I lost, but I did make it into the last group of seven that made it up on the stage, and I got a free video game that wasn't released yet out of it and stuff, and that was pretty cool. But my point is, all those games I mentioned, if you think about them, they're not really, you know, programming you for war. I mean, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, Rad Racer, I mean, there's not really even much violence, if any, at all. I mean, maybe Mario jumping on a few people's heads and throwing some fireballs, and that's about it. But you're not blowing stuff up with grenades and machine guns. So even, you know, in the Nintendo day, I mean, it wasn't like it is now. I mean, now since like Xbox Live launched back when it did, and PlayStation 2 was big, and they started coming out with games like Ghost Recon and Rainbow Six, they really stepped it up. They really stepped it up at that time. And now, I mean, it's just, they're ridiculously realistic looking. I don't think I have the newest one, but I have the Call of Duty before the newest one. And if I put it in my PlayStation right now, I mean, the thing was, I mean, it looked almost like a video. You know what? All the events that they show us on video, like the 9/11 videos and the Mars pitches, and then how we say all these events get worse and worse, the PlayStation will probably actually look better now than anything they film back to us.
Simone is saying, as far as, like, she grew up, you know, she used it to make friends and whatnot. You know, as far as, no, there's definitely some positive things to, you know, to anything. But the problem is, like anything else, you know, when it gets taken too far, just like anything else, you know. But for someone, you know, somebody in your position or whatever, you know, no, I mean, I can't say that's a bad thing, you know, but obviously, like anything else, it's, and also, too, I think you're in the same age group somewhat as we are, and when we were growing up, the games were a lot different, you know, the games weren't exactly, you know, like Brian was saying, and, you know, and things are always going to change, things are always going to advance with the technology that they give us. We know they're years ahead, but I think that as far as, you know, it's just shit is a lot more sinister. I mean, you know, we played Mortal Kombat and you fatality the guy and everything, you know. But I don't know. I think you realize that wasn't real. Nowadays,
yeah,
it's based on a true story. It's based
exactly.
on a real narrative. You know?
That's a good point, man. Because we did, you know, Nintendo 64. I mean, I had the Ultimate Mortal Kombat 64. You know, it was like the first three Mortal Kombats all combined, and it was you know, you knew it's just a fighting game, you know. But when you're watching a game that really looks like what you see on TV, as far as the war goes, I mean, it kind of hits you a little different. You know what I mean?
Right.
See, I was about 10, about 8, 9, 10, 11 when I was playing the N64. So it was like a 10-year probably gap from you guys. But yeah, I certainly remember all those great games. It was a lot different.
Wave Race 64, that game was awesome.
Yeah, GoldenEye and all those games.
Oh, GoldenEye, man. How about this? WCW NWO Revenge. Oh, that game was
best game ever.
Best game ever, right there.
You could wear Hogan in the yellow or the NWO, and you all the finishing, or you
that,
could pick
we used to
rip.
Play that with all my boys at my house, yep. And even later on when I got a little older, so I was probably like 19, 20, 21 around the time that was out. I remember, and because I was working at the time and everything, and we used to have, you know, the four controllers, and we'd have everybody sit around. We played the four-man battle royal, you know, so you could eliminate one person at a time until there was one, you know, just a champion left. And when you get eliminated, you could pull the people out of the ring, and you could beat the crap out of them. People used to get pissed off and really start fighting and start wrestling around. Because you think you keep pulling them out.
Simone was talking about Friends. If you had an N64 and four controllers, you had Friends, man.
yeah, you do, because not everybody had an N64. I'll tell you that. Out of my friends, I was the only one. I know that.
Real quick, guys, how about GoldenEye? Simone just brought that up.
Yeah, he mentioned that. GoldenEye's real nasty, too. Okay. Real nasty. That was the first nasty, first-person, four-player shooter.
In the library with grenade launchers, we used to play over and over again, and one of my boys was, like, tremendous at it. And we used to go 3-on-1 even and try to beat him, and this kid used to snipe us all out. He was always good at that shit.
Bond was awesome, dude. And yeah, you know what else was awesome? All the wrestling games from that series were awesome. The very first one was the WCW NWO World Tour, and then they came out with the NWO Revenge, which was the best one. And then they came out with WWF WrestleMania. And even though I was still more into WCW at the time, you could create guys on the WWF game. So yes. I got to make all the WCW guys and just have the Ultimate Wrestling game. And that game was awesome, dude. I remember that when I had that, because I was 21 and 22 when that came out. Because I remember I had a girlfriend. I moved into my own apartment with her and stuff. And I remember getting that WrestleMania game then. So that's how old I was when that was out. Bond was awesome, though. Bond was classic.
I'll never understand for the life of me how PlayStation 1 beat the N64 in the console wars. Like, I mean,
it's just a sheer library of games, maybe.
Like, N64 having the ability out of the box to play four-player, I mean, for the PlayStation 1, you actually needed an adapter or
multi-tap
something. Multi-tap
thing. Yeah, you had to get that multi-tap thing. That stupid V-shaped friggin' outlet thing that you plug the controllers into or whatever.
I mean, I'm not going to go as far as saying that they fixed the console wars, but I'll never understand how the PlayStation beat the Nintendo 64. Like, I don't get it.
I think it was that the PlayStation had so many more games because it was out longer, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, and the games for the Nintendo 64 were getting expensive, the cartridges. And the PlayStation was on disc. You remember the Nintendo games over here, they were getting up to like $80, $90.
Yeah.
Some of the bigger ones. And usually games were always $50, no more, no less, you know, at the time. And these Nintendo games were going up to like $80. A couple of them were like $90. It was like, parents probably seen that, and they were like, well, I'm not going to get this system for my kid because I'm going to have to buy these $90 or $80 games all the time. I bet you that had something to do with it.
Yeah, they were worth it, though. I mean, some of these games were worth it. They were double that, you know.
They really were worth it. Like, you would play them so much. I mean, some of the Nintendo, and it wasn't just the Bond game, and it wasn't just the wrestling games. How about the Super Star Wars game? How about WiiWare 64? You know,
how about Mario Kart 64?
Mario Kart or Mario World 64?
That's the best Mario Kart, man.
That game is awesome.
Can you believe it? I was like 9 or 10 when I was playing these games. I was like in primary school, man. It was the best time.
They had some good games, man. I'm trying to think what else I had for it. When I got it, I bought it out of the, you know how you have the WAN ad and you look around for like whatever, you know? And I was looking at Nintendo's in the WAN ad, and somebody sold me the package for like, I got a really good deal on it. I got it for like, I don't remember how much, I want to say like between, I want to say probably around like $300, I got it with like 6 or 7 games and 4 controllers. Used, obviously, but it was quite it was quite the toy, I'll tell you, because every game I had was, like, pure gold. Compared to the crap they push out now, you know what I mean? I mean, they still make some good games now, like MLB The Show. That's a game I could play. If there was a friend over and they wanted to play MLB The Show right now, I would play MLB The Show with them. I mean, not right now, but I mean after the radio show, obviously. But that game's like the wrestling game was. It's just so awesome to play, you know?
I'd have to say, though, that of all the games, like, I always felt the Zelda game blew me away the most. The gold cartridge one, I can't remember what it was called, but the Legend of Zelda one.
Adventures to Link, the second one or the first one? You're talking about the second one, right?
No, it was the N64 one.
Oh, the N64 one. Okay. I don't remember which one it was. Was it the Wind Walker? The Wind Waker?
Ocarina of Time or something?
Oh, yeah, the Ocarina of Time. I know which one that is. Yeah, that's one of them.
That scored like a perfect 10 with every website. That was just the best game of all time. Like, it still would be probably now. Like, it was just, it was so big. Like, That game was just... I never even played a Zelda game before. I didn't even know what it was about. But when you played that game, you knew what you were playing, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you played the first ones were awesome too, James. You missed out because you were a little younger. But the regular Nintendo, the original Zelda and the Zelda 2 Adventures to Link. Oh, my God, man.
Oh,
Zelda
those 2 were
so awesome. And it was huge, too. Just like, you know, that not as huge as the 64 game, but for its time, I mean, it was huge. And it was... The second one was a big improvement, I thought, as far as graphics, but I thought it lost a little bit in difficulty compared to the first one.
The Legend of Zelda was ill.
I tell you what was a great game was Banjo-Kazooie, the first one. That just came out of nowhere.
I never had that one, I don't think.
You never had it? Oh, Banjo-Kazooie. It was the best. Like, you have to go back to like PC, like Wolfenstein 3D, you know, to get better than that, you know.
I got a quick question. I'll go ahead and continue. You cut out for a second on mine.
No, go ahead. You got to ask a question.
Yeah. Do any of you guys know the first first person shooter game of all time? Because I remember playing it on my buddy's house on the computer. I didn't have a computer, but he did.
What was it like? Castle Wolfenstein or something?
No, Wolfenstein killing Nazis.
That's what he just said. He said, wasn't it Castle Wolfenstein or something?
Oh, I thought you said Castle.
He said Castle Wolfenstein. There was one before Wolfenstein 3D. It was like in the 80s. It was like Return to Castle Wolfenstein. That's a different one.
Okay.
That's a different one from the one that came out in the early 2000s. Castle Wolfenstein.
No, this was probably 93, 94 I was playing this,
Yeah, Wolfenstein 3D. It was before Doom.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I had that.
It was a year or two before Doom.
I had that on my parents' PC when they first got the PC, when they first, you know, your parents first get it, you know, get the computer. And you guys remember when your parents first got the computer hooked up and they got online and they used AOL? Do you guys remember that? Like, everybody was on AOL?
Well, here is the thing. I didn't have a computer until my senior year of high school, and I bought it with my own. I bought it, and my mother took it over. And she was so hooked on the AOL.
Oh, yeah,
and the chat.
I never had my own at that age either.
I bought the fucking thing. This is 2000 when I was a senior in high school, I had money, whatever, at the time, so I went out and I bought a $2,000 computer, and my mother, it ended up in my mother's room after we moved. I ended up not using it the last 4 or 5 years that we had it, but yeah, no, I didn't get a computer again until 2008. I went like 7 years without, 7 or 8 years without a computer.
That's funny that you guys remember that. That's the first shooter because that was the first. I remember playing that game on their computer. There was no other shooters. That was like the first time you did that, where you moved around like that and shot people with a gun.
Dude, can you imagine? I was like 6 or 7 years old. I was like just at primary school. I was running like MS DOS and like Windows 3.11, and like I was playing. Like Wolfenstein, Doom.
Yeah, that's crazy. I never had a computer until I was 20 years old, probably, my own computer.
James's generation was, they were born with them pretty much just being 10 years younger than us, almost.
I was playing Duke Nukem, friggin' like Hugo's House of Horrors and Jill of the Jungle and all those games. I was like in primary school, man. And the end of the PlayStation and the N64 came out when I was like probably 7 or 8. So I had the Nintendo 64 and my sister had the PS, like PlayStation, the first one. But it was like a battle, you know. But I always thought the N64 was a lot better, but, you know.
No, I did too. It's funny. Once I got it, I never played my PS1 anymore. I always played the N64. You know.
Well, I'll tell you what I did too. But there was a couple games like Cool Borders 2 that we played, and the other game was Twisted Metal 2.
How about California Games for the Commodore 64? Talk about old school games. That was like one of the first games like you ever played. You know. It really was. Yep. It was like they had that stupid Football Manager. It was like the first game they had, and then they had California Games.
Brian, best football game of all time is Tecmo Bowl. I mean, pre Madden. You know,
I honestly did like Tecmo Bowl.
10-yard fight.
No, I like Joe Montana Sports Talk Football too.
I remember that.
Sega Genesis.
For Sega,
good, dude. The first one was the overhead view up and down. But the second one was like side to side, cinematic view. You could make it snow, everything. And the guy was talking. It was the first game that had a commentary. And he would be like, breaks a tackle. He's got daylight. He's going to make it.
Wow. Yeah.
Do you guys remember what was that name? Like Halloween Harry or something? Or B.I.O. Menace or some of those games? Like the side scrollers for the PC?
PC? No, I never really had any of those. I never had a PC, like, for myself, so all my games were on the consoles. Like, I had all the console games, but I never got into the computer games. I just know California Games on the Commodore 64, because my cousin actually had a Commodore 64, and I used to go over his house, and we used to play that over there. We used to do the hacky sack a lot, or the half-pipe
skateboard. I played that, too. What I remember, though, was Oregon Trail on that we used to play in school. On them, like the first computers ever, those brown Commodores.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. They brought them in school. They used to let us go down to the computer lab every now and then, and actually, I was in a group with a bunch of bad kids, so they used to let us down like once a day or if it was raining out, they'd make us go outside and run around. But if it was raining out, so we wouldn't cause trouble, they'd put us in there and let us play Oregon Trail.
Yeah, I think Hugh remembers California Games too. That game was awesome. That was awesome.
Another good time was when the Windows 95 came out. They had all the demo discs, and we had like this Beavis and Butthead game. Do you remember that one? Maybe not. Like, it had Doom 95, which was just pretty much the original Doom, but.
I think we got the Windows 95 computer, but I don't remember the first game you said. I remember the second one, but not the fourth. What was the first one you
like
said?
Yeah, back in the day.
Beavis
like,
and Butthead, you said.
It's like Virtual Stupidity. I don't know if you remember. It was a really good
I
game.
Remember
it. Oh, I remember that now. I remember
yeah,
that now
could,
that
you
say
you could
it.
You could spit off the roof onto the principal's head.
I remember now, yeah. I didn't have that game, but I had played it.
I remember
that
was an
awesome game.
Though,
The Simpsons game, so you had to buy your own games.
What was the? There was a Simpsons game that was cool too back then.
I don't know, but
I'm trying to dig it. Yeah, no, those are the days. I mean, you know, you look at it now, and like you said, MLB The Show, and I don't know. I liked playing the World War II first person shooter games that came out for like PS2.
See, I like my generation, like as far as for the war games, was the Xbox. The original Xbox, I thought, was like the best system, you know, since the 64, and everything in between kind of sucked. Like, not sucked. Like, the PS2 was good. Don't get me wrong. The PS2 was great for sports games. I mean, it really was at the time. I had some fun on that playing, you know, NHL hockey and Madden football and every FIFA soccer. I'm a big fan of every FIFA soccer game. I love that game. NBA 2K, well, that was much later on. NBA Live, it was back then. Those are two separate games, but I'm saying that was the good one back then. Now 2K is the better one. But
Right. Yeah, around 2001, it switched over.
Yeah, well, I thought once 2K came out, I thought it was better, and I always got it.
I didn't like their games except basketball. Everyone else.
Oh yeah, that was the only one. I had the other one. I liked the first football one they had, but I didn't like any of the sequels to it. I thought it wasn't as good as Madden, you know.
Right.
My preference is to play the basketball game or the soccer game. I just like the pace of the game better. You know, playing the football game, it's not as fun for me.
Hey guys, what would you think? You got some programmers here, some geeks. We should make up like a anti NWO game or something like that. That'd be awesome.
That'd be some work.
I'm sure it wouldn't be hard to do, but like, you know, just a thing where you got to go around and like be an activist or whatever and do this and that, and you got to you know, it'd be a good way to spread the word, you know, like you got to go and you know, go picket Monsanto and then you got to go and I don't know, you know, you could figure, you know, you could do what you wanted to do, but that'd be pretty cool to you know, then you gotta figure out which guys are agents, and you get points for like spotting them and shit.
I think you think it's a little easier to design the game than it really would be.
I don't know.
Quite the project for one of us, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? If you already took a console that was already there, you know, maybe and used it and kind of, you know, just made the characters up as you went along type thing. I don't know. I'm not a programmer, so like you said, yeah, it's probably a lot harder than I'm talking, but hey, it's an idea. I want 3% if someone makes it. How's that?
Guys, we're going to wrap it up in about 6 minutes. Anything else you guys wanted to hear about? I mean, we don't mind just talking games for a few moments. I mean, it's fun. You know, we talk serious stuff all the time. I mean, we talk serious stuff for 4.5 hours before we got into the video game. So, I mean, it's cool. It's all cool. But is there anything else you guys wanted to hear about, or just kind of keep how about you, James? Anything else you wanted to get off your chest before we close up out of here?
Oh, just to say that I do miss the days of the whole demo disc thing. I don't know if they still do it, but I mean, you get a new operating system or a new computer or even the PlayStation. Yep. You know, they had like you just get a demo disc full of games. That's how they got. It's how Wolfenstein and Doom and all those games got big, you know, through the demo, you know, the shareware market. Yeah, the shareware where you download it. But it's like you had like, oh, it was the best, you know.
Did you guys ever have a game called Skate or Die for Nintendo?
Hell yeah, Skate or Die.
That game was awesome, right?
Die. The best one was the one when you had the ramp, though. I didn't like the other version. I liked the one where
the second one had the ramp, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. Or I don't know. Whatever one that had that annoying music was like Skate or Die. Die, 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 die. Like all fucking, all Luciferian like. But no, that was.
I used to love that game, man. That game was so fun.
You used to go up and used to pull like the Tony Hawk tricks and everything. Way before the Tony Hawk games. To be able to pull like.
Oh, yeah, way before the Tony Hawk games. You could go up and do 720s and everything. Yeah,
right,
but you could skate around straight for like objectives too. Like you could like do these long skates, like, you know, kind of like through the park or whatever, and you could do kick flips and everything as you're going, and then you make your way over to the ramp. You wouldn't have to like start at the ramp, you know what I mean? You could like start like way down the street and like come down on the flat way and get points doing stuff on all the way down and then make your way over to the half pipe. I thought that game was so fun, man.
Yeah, I like the other. What was the other one? I remember there was another one you used to skate, but then you used to surf too. It was like skating.
That was
surf.
California Games.
Was it?
Didn't that have surfing and skating?
Oh, okay, yeah. And there was something else.
Surfing, skating, hacky sack, surfing, skating, hacky sack,
right.
And I think frisbee or something like that.
Oh, okay, I was thinking of the other when you guys saying California Games. I was thinking of the Olympic game one that you had. That you used to have to do. You used to have to hit the joystick and run with the guy and do the hurdles and everything, but it was like with a joystick and a button. It wasn't too, you know. That.
Do you remember the power pad and track and field for Nintendo?
What was it? The Apollo pad? I'm not sure.
No, the power pad for Nintendo.
Oh, Power Pad. I couldn't.
And you would play the track and field game, and you would get down. Sometimes you would cheat. Sometimes you would cheat and get down on your hands and knees and just rub it with your hand real fast.
That's what we used to do.
That thing was. Parents must have hated that thing, man.
Yeah, right.
I have to say, I do remember the first Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. I thought it was, even though it was a bit later on, I thought the soundtrack was pretty good, especially on that game.
I did like the Tony Hawk games, don't get me wrong. I thought the first like two or three Tony Hawk games were really good. Then I kind of started to get sick of them a little bit. They kind of started to be the same thing over and over to me. But they definitely, yeah, they had a good soundtrack too, yeah. I like the Tony Hawk games. When you first pull off like a 720 or something, you're like, whoa. And then you're just doing mad tricks. That's a good game. Tony Hawk was a good game. There was another game too called Trick Style. It was for Sega Dreamcast. It was like a futuristic skateboarding game, and you were on like a hoverboard. Do you remember that game, Justin? Did you ever play that?
No, I don't. I don't remember that, to be honest. What was it called?
It was called Trick Style, and you were in like, let's say, like a futuristic New York City. Let's say, I think it might have been supposed to be, you know, maybe like another 20, 30 years in the future from now, and you were on like these hoverboards, but they operated the same as the skateboards did, and you could do all the same tricks.
Kind of like the Back to the Future type hoverboard.
Exactly like the Back to the Future hoverboard. Exactly like that, and you would skate around on those, and you could like, you know, you could kind of go sideways up the wall a little bit. It was cool game, man. Not that many people had Dreamcasts, but Dreamcast was a good system too. I really liked that one a lot.
Yeah, I always wanted
Double Dragon.
Double Dragon was awesome. So was Double Dragon 2, man. I was a big fan of the second one too.
Oh yeah,
really cool. You could do that.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, James.
I was going to say, the Dreamcast and the GameCube, I don't quite understand why they failed so bad, you know? Particularly the Dreamcast.
I thought was really good. The Dreamcast was awesome. I don't know what happened there. They really was awesome. I really liked the Dreamcast a lot. The Dreamcast is the first one that had the NBA 2K. And all the sports games on the Dreamcast were really good. I really liked the Dreamcast a lot.
I didn't like Crazy Taxi as well. The only good thing about it is you could pirate the games, so you could. I remember we used to go like to the flea market and buy a million pirated games, and like they would work for like a month or two, you know. But that was like one of the only games, because they were CDs, you know. So we used to burn them somehow or whatever.
I used to really love the Dreamcast a lot. I don't get why I failed either. I was pretty pissed off about that because I had a whole big library of games and they kind of just closed the whole thing down and stopped making games for it. Sega CD, that was a big fail. I had that. Best game I had for that was this game called Night Trap, where you like trap these spies that were trying to break into your house. It was kind of pretty much just a menu-based game where you're really just hitting, you know, setting a couple traps and letting... Yeah, NBA Jam wasn't bad EQ. It wasn't bad. It wasn't my favorite, though. I like the more realistic one, but it was fun. But you get kind of sick of it after, you know, a few times around.
There were a few good ones for the PlayStation, I think. The first Croc game was pretty good. The Crash Bandicoot, the first couple of games were pretty good.
How about Sonic the Hedgehog?
Yeah, well, it's always good, you know.
Yeah, Sonic was awesome. Sonic CD was good for the Sega CD. That's one good game that they did have for it. They didn't give it much support at all. They didn't give it much support. Yeah, the Dreamcast shutdown was ridiculous. They did that way too early, man. I mean, everybody that had the games got screwed.
Well, no, you know what it was, too? The reason was because it came out in the middle. It's kind of like Neo Geo. It was like it came out and it was like there was better ones coming out.
Neo Geo was mad money.
Yeah,
nobody wanted to pay that. That's why.
I couldn't afford that or Sega Saturn, your Sega CD, or none of those either. I just had the regular. But no, well, you know what it was, a Dreamcast, though? It came out, and it was better than everything at the time, but it was only better for like six months, and then I think it was PlayStation 2 came out, and then it trumped it. So it was like nobody wanted to play it, you know.
Was it the Saturn or something?
The Saturn that came out after, right?
What, Sega Saturn?
came out after Dreamcast. I never had the Saturn. Yeah. I had almost every system, but I never had the Saturn. I never had the Neo Geo because that thing was like friggin' $800.
I didn't either, but I had a rich kid friend that we used to go over and play it. He had like every system we used to play at his
Baseball
house.
Baseball Stars on Neo Geo was unbelievable.
Dude, the best thing, we never saw it in this part of the world, but the best thing was the whole Game Shark thing and how you could hack into games.
Oh, I had it. Street Fighter, James.
Yeah, you couldn't find it in this part of the world anywhere, but, like, I heard all these rumors, like, in GoldenEye, how in the first level you could get across to that secret island in the GoldenEye game, that first level, you're supposed to take the boat across. Yeah, yep. But, like, you had to wait till YouTube came out so you could see it actually, like, done. But, like, in those days, like Easter eggs and video games were so huge because you couldn't just go to YouTube and watch it, you know, like, it was the best.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, man. It was pretty crazy. Well, it's just about time to wrap it up. Nah. You guys have anything last words you want to say? Any last points you want to hit on before we bounce out of here?
Well, I just think the, you know, the internet is good for a lot of things, but I think there was a time there, you know, we talk about video games and things and wrestling too, you know, in the mid-1990s, you know, when we just before that internet age, you know, before spoilers and things, it was quite a special time, you know, and, you know, young people growing up today will never quite know what that's like, you know, just the times where, you know, it wasn't so easy to just go online and get cheat codes for a game or find out the results of a wrestling event or something like that, you know. It was just spoilers. You had to really go looking for them to find out, you know.
It also made it so events were, you know, can't miss events because, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be able to go look at them online after.
Yeah.
Like, as far as you're saying, like the wrestling, you know what I mean? Like wrestling or maybe like a, you know, a Mike Tyson boxing match or something, you know, stuff like that. It was crazy stuff. Justin, you got anything you want to, anything you want to say before we get out of here? Did he already bounce off? Yeah, he might have already bounced off.
Put his sleeve.
No, I was muted. I was muted up. I just want to say thanks to you guys for coming and listening. Thanks to James for coming on, and I had a good time the last half hour talking about some video game shit and whatnot. And just shows, you know, awake people can do, you know, can talk about other shit too, and but you know, obviously our eyes are on the prize as far as it goes. I mean, but you know, it is what it is. You know, you got to still live life. So, just wanted to, you know, say thanks for listening, and we'll be back next Tuesday. Besides that, if you guys don't have me on Facebook, I think everyone here has me on Facebook. Hit me up. If not, that's it. That's all I got to say, I believe. I don't know. Hopefully, all goes well at the closing ceremonies. If not, we'll obviously have probably a big show next week.
Yeah,
most
think,
of you guys know our music group, but for those that don't, I just threw the link right there in the chat. I had a lot of fun this show. I thought this was one of our better shows, guys, and it wouldn't be possible without everybody that was here listening, and there were a lot of people there at the start, actually. We had like 13, 14 people, and it's good to see such participation from everybody. I think it makes for like a nice interactive show, and you guys get to hear what you want to hear about, and like Justin said, the last half hour has been it's been real entertaining, and it's nice to just, you know, give our mind a little bit of, you know, we don't have to, you know, we feel like we have this burden on us to constantly always be waking people up, and we kind of do, you know. I mean, I can't help myself, you know, but we gotta have a little fun too, you know. We gotta have a little fun too.
Thanks.
And I had fun talking about the games tonight. I really did.
Yeah, goes to show that, you know, no matter how good technology ever gets, it's never going to be as good as just having a few drinks and going down memory lane, you know? The greatest piece of technology you'll ever see is in between your ears, you know, in your head. Nothing beats going down memory lane, you know?
No, definitely.
Definitely not. Definitely not. All right, guys. I want to thank everybody that tuned in. Everybody that's still here, I want to thank my co-host, Justin Cook. I want to thank James Sloan for calling in for so long and participating. I want to thank, what was David's name there? David what? The one that joined us
David
earlier?
David Black.
David Black. I want to thank David Black for calling in earlier. I want to thank all you guys that have, you know, that have ever called in. And we'll be back next Tuesday. You've been listening to The Dose of Reality on TheRealNewsOnline.com.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles. Who got me?
Word, good song.
Radio Duke. Yeah. Oh, all right. The feature's here. Headlight, I can't sleep. I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark. Visions of bodies being burned. Four walls closing in, getting bigger. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right. But I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. And somebody watching me act. But I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see them when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I hear a car burning rubber. He owns a black hat like I own. A black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say, take a chill, B. But I can't, G, cause there's somebody trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigating the joint for traps. Checking my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's messed up when your mind is playing tricks on you. I make big money, I drive big cars, everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, something ain't right. I feel I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlights. Is it that fool that I ran off the block? Or is it that clown last week that I shot? Or is it the one I beat for $5,000?
Thought he had cane, but it was gold metal flower.
I'm a popper for the suckers, ain't no use to me lying. I was scared than a monster. Put the left in the Popeyes and Bell got quick. If it's going down, let's get it over with. Here they come, just like I figured. I got my hand on a chrome-plated trigger. When I start, I'll make you start giggling. Three black, crippling, crazy seniors feeling.
Welcome to the Last American Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Phil J. Camp. And I'm a total jackass.
My mind is tricks on me.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. You should have did it. We had people listening.
Day by day is more impossible to cope. I feel like I'm the one that's doing dope. Can't keep a steady hand because I'm nervous. Every Sunday morning I'm in service, praying for forgiveness.
You're wrong, Brian. And trying to find you're an exit wrong. Out the business. You don't know the truth.
I know the Lord is looking at me.
They're the same person, Jim John, Jimmy John, WTC Meth House, WTC 6 Meth House.
Get it over with. And then I'm worry-free, but that's nonsense. I got a little boy to look after. And if I die, then my child would be a bastard. I had a woman down with me. But to me, it seems like she was down to get me. She helped me out in this. But to me, she was just another chick. Now she's back with her mother. Now I'm realizing that I love her. Now I'm feeling lonely. My mind is playing tricks on me.
This year, Halloween fell on a weekend. Me and Ghetto Boys are trick-or-treating. Robbing little kids for bags. Still an old man got behind our rags. So we speeded up the pace. Took a look back, and he was right before our face. We were in for a squad, no doubt. So I swung and tried to take him out. He was going down, we planned. But this wasn't no ordinary man. He stood about 6 or 7 feet. Now that's the creep I be seeing in my sleep. So we triple teamed on him. Dropping them fifth ward bees on him. The more I swung, the more blood flew. Then he disappeared, and my boys disappeared too. Then I felt just like a fiend. It wasn't even close to Halloween. It was dark as death on the streets. My hands were all bloody from punching on the concrete. Aw, man, homie.
My mind is playing tricks on me. Tricks on me.
Alright, it's disconnected. Let me just kill the stream. Let me just stop the recording and save.